listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome once again to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host. You know, one of the jobs parents have is teaching their children occupation and control of the body. In my conscious parenting classes over the years, this is what I've told parents for nearly 35 years. So if you are, or were, or want to be a parent, consider this. Did you include your child's relationship and care of his or her body as the vitally important part of growing up that it really is? Our body is a very, very special part of our experience as human beings, yet we most often ignore its messages to us, rely on it to behave as we wish, regardless of how we treat it, how we care for it, and we don't realize what a treasure chest it can be for us as we navigate our lives. How do you think things would change if we were helped to discover from the very beginning of life our own body's intelligence, the many ways it can help us, and the ways that we can care for it and rely on it without damaging it? This is what we'll be talking about today on Full Power Living. And during this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on emotionalpro.com or blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. And we have a toll-free number, 800-630-7858. That's 800-630-7858. Our guest today is someone we've had on Full Power Living before, Steve Siskold, who's a popular speaker and body-centered therapist, and he's been working hard for years to tell the world that we really benefit from having a closer and more respectful relationship with our bodies. He has helped best-selling authors, Grammy Award winners, and CEOs, as well as thousands of others, how to use their body intelligence to create better, more stress and anxiety-free lives. He's the author of two books, including What's Your Body Telling You?, and he frequently appears on national media, such as the Oprah Winfrey Show. You can find out more about him at onedream.com. Now, Steve's upcoming book is concerned with empowering our children's body quotient. That's a BQ instead of an IQ. And I've invited him here today to share his wisdom. So, Steve Siskold, welcome once again to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. That was a great introduction. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, I want you to review or share some of the basic things we need to know about our body before we talk about children in particular, for example, that the mind and body are connected and we want them to work together and that we have something called a full body intelligence. Can you just give us kind of a little backdrop for our further discussion?
Sure. Well, you know, like even right now, you could be listening to this show and having no idea that you're gripping your computer mouse, or you're gripping your steering wheel, or you're gripping something. You don't even realize that you're not breathing, perhaps, just habit to hold our breath, or might not realize that you're thinking about something that happened this morning and something that's about happening later, and you're all crunched up and you have no idea. So, you know, we've gotten so far away from our bodies and our sensory and all that intelligence and memory that we could be accessing, and even to the degree of, you know, not even knowing when we're gripping tight or causing ourselves, you know, more stress by being unaware. So, you know, whole body consciousness would be using your IQ that's great and available, checking into your heart and your emotions, your EQ, and also, as you mentioned, my BQ, which is, you know, being aware of, oh, when you said that, I noticed it impacted me by listening to my body. I could see, oh, I'm gripping my hand or I'm crunching up. This gives us information about what's really happening for the moment. And when we're out of our body, in our mind too much, in our machines that we're on all day, we're lacking and missing that perception.
Hmm. You remind me that for years, I had not thought of this while I was preparing for the show, for years I've taught people to use their bodies to tell if somebody's manipulating them, because usually we have either a tingling or a crunch in our solar plexus when someone's manipulating us. So there are lots of things you can use your, you know, listening to your body for. But as adults, we override our body's messages, right, Steve?
Well, we do a lot because, you know, look, let's face it, Eileen, no one wants to feel bad. And sometimes when, you know, things happened to us, we held our breath and we enrolled our body to just hold on to some of these feelings because they felt so bad. So, you know, a lot of us, if we have a little bit of pain or a little emotional pain or an issue or a problem, and we're starting to feel something in our body, rather than, you know, letting that feeling move through us or listening to it, because, it, as you said, it might give us some advice or it might tell us something or it could save us from a bad relationship or anything else, we ignore it because we don't want to feel. And we're encouraged, of course, all day long. You got a little back pain, do a pill. You don't feel good, do this. Your mood isn't good, let's give you an antidepressant. So between that and television and computers and everything else, we're just finding ways to numb and to distract ourselves, because sometimes feelings don't always feel good, and we do our best to avoid that.
Based on the work that I've done, however, what I've learned is that feelings may not feel good, but once you start facing them and working with them, you get to the point where they don't feel so bad after all, and they don't come up as much. But, you know, children don't override their body's messages when they're very young. But you point out in What's Your Body Telling You and some of your other writings that by the age of 4 or 5, we may already have children who eat a big plate of macaroni and cheese bigger than their body might tell them they really want, because they've already learned to override. You know, what are some of the negatives about kids learning to override their ability to listen to their body?
Well, I think it's, you know, gosh, there's so many cases. I mean, just in a pure visceral way, it's really important for, you know, all of us from at any age to say, gee, you know, that hurts, I shouldn't strain it, or my belly hurts, maybe I've eaten enough. But unfortunately, you know, a little kid will learn very young. For instance, a little kid could be walking and saying, Mommy, I'm really hot, or Daddy, I'm really hot. Oh, I want to take my sweater off, I'm so hot. You're not hot, and it's not hot in here. Now, either the parent's not hot, or it's inconvenient for the parent to have to listen to the child and take that sweater off. So we subconsciously or consciously are teaching our children, you don't know what you feel, and don't listen to that, you know. And what happens is the child gets confused and starts to get into a habit of, oh, maybe I don't know what I feel. Mm-hmm. And it's so important, especially when they go to school and they're in peer pressure. I've helped children. I spoke at an international youth conference just last month, and helping these young children really trust their feelings, identify, you know, kids will feel it. Peer pressure is telling them to do something that they shouldn't. Kids will feel that. Mm-hmm. And this way, if they would feel, they go, you know, something doesn't feel right. And then having that trust and faith in their body where they can actually say no and listen. And you mm-hmm. know, as we go along, there's so many examples of, and I'm sure you and I can tell many, where we wished we would have listened. You know, we wished mm-hmm. we would have listened in when our instinct told us not to go do that. Or, you know, I knew I shouldn't have done that, but I overrode it anyway. So it's very dangerous to override that, because we go down paths that we know we shouldn't, but we do to please people or just to, you know, look okay in the moment, even though our mm-hmm. body's screaming, saying, hey, listen, my body has memory, and it tells me often, and it has sensories and intelligence. And as we get more into that, that's really what we want to do. We want to tap into that and teach our children at a young age, tap in and listen so that you'll make better decisions.
Now, I have a signature story that I use in my parenting classes of how I taught my son at the age of 8 to listen to his own voice instead of other people's voices when he got caught stealing a candy bar. And as I listen to you, I wonder, okay, you went to a conference, not your kid. How did you teach kids to listen to that inner voice?
Well, you know, I taught my son as he was growing up, and I teach it at conferences and so forth that, you know, for instance, I have the kids take a look at something they want. They're young, and they all have these little dreams inside. And at this conference, I had them get up, and they loved it. They got up on the microphone, and they would say something like, you know, I want to be a pilot, or, you know, I want to write music one day, or I want to be in the movies. And then I said to them, so how did it feel? Not in your mind, but in your body when you said that. And oh my gosh, they were just like, oh God, I felt scared, or I felt my tummy get tight, or I felt excited, or my chest got bigger. And I was just teaching them to have that connection between their body and their mind so that they would be able to really feel. And then they were just so excited by that access that they could actually feel and take in their body. You know, what I told them is like, now you can embody your dream. You said it out loud. You felt whatever you felt about it. You shared it, and you got in touch with it. Some got in touch with that, oh, my belly got tight because, you know, I might not have a good enough voice. And then, or, oh, gee, you know, I said I want to be a pilot, and then I was just scared that the kids were going to laugh. And it was just like they were loving it. They felt like they could be free. You know, when you really look at children, they're very free and in the moment until some adult or some teacher or some coach, some parent stops them and says, oh, that's wrong, or, you know, don't express yourself. And my gosh, you know, you've seen in my book so many stories of every adult story always goes back to, you know, gee, I sweat when I get up to give a speech at my company, and as I really breathe and feel into my body, wow, it's as if I'm back at show and tell the first time I got up and the kids laughed at me and I felt shamed and I haven't been up since. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important for kids to be able to feel and express and have that freedom. Otherwise, we swallow it, and then later, as we grow, it affects our relationships and our career and everything we do. So I love reaching out to parents, educators, and kids themselves to say, you know, when a kid expresses something, at least, even if you disagree with it, just acknowledge it. Say, I hear you. I like, acknowledge and accept their experience. Validate their experience as their experience versus overriding it, because then they get in the habit of not trusting their own body and their own instincts.
Mm-hmm. You remind me that Esther Hicks indicates in one of her books that we all have come to the earth in order to identify our wants and move toward them. And as you're talking about it, that's the vehicle that you're using for helping kids stay connected with their bodies. It's really great. And perhaps if parents were thinking it's the kids' job, it's all of our job to identify what we really want, what's in our heart, and move toward it, that we'd be more inclined to remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd all be a lot happier. And, you know, it's like I'm at a campfire with somebody and their family, and I play guitar, so I'm playing guitar, and then a little girl, a young little girl, said, can I try? I said, of course, and I gave her the guitar, and she just kind of banged at it and sang, and it was so sweet and so cute, and she was so happy, and then her mom and dad chimed in, wow, that was terrible, don't ever want to hear you sing again.
Oh,
well,
no.
That's all it takes. I've seen it as a little league coach. When a kid gets up to bat and I hear the opposite coach who's dying to win so much, that kid's no good, he's an easy out. Ah, the little kid, you can just see his whole little body shrivel. His whole community just heard, including his parents, his grandparents, his neighbors, that he's no good, that he's an easy out. And of course he strikes out because he's just diminished, and he carries that into his life. So, you know, it's really, I've had the most conscious parents, yoga teachers, etc., say, you know, I'm conscious, I'm a great parent, which they are, but boy, thanks, because I didn't even realize sometimes how I, you know, override my child's feelings or am too busy to really hear what they feel, and they could see how that's teaching the kid that what they feel isn't important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so wonderful that you're doing that. You know, I once watched a PBS special. It was about people getting on some kind of a centrifuge machine, which if you stayed on long enough, gave you this feeling that you were not in your body. And they reported that when you're not connected to your body, you don't have a sense of being a self. And that's always had a really profound influence on me. It's like all of this that we're really talking about, that one of the reasons it affects our life as we go on is connecting with your body has an influence on how much of yourself you connect with. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I absolutely agree. I mean, we're in a body. And, you know, I call it the library of our flesh, meaning, you know, it's been there from day one. It experienced, and your body, there's so much science now that shows, you know, the body has memory. I mean, it's under the microscope, you know, heart transplant, the recipients taking on characteristics of the person who died. I mean, there's intelligence, there's memory. And I think it's just really important to notice that if I'm listening and I'm part of my body, not only do I see how I'm presenting myself to the world, what kind of stress I'm creating in my body, but I'm able to actually access, you know, past memories to really understand the situation in the moment, you know, mm-hmm. to really get in touch with, well, why am I afraid to speak in front of my office, or, you know, why do I keep repeating this pattern in relationship? And the body is an amazing place to go to for that information, because your body's been there. It has memory. So you may, you know, some of the techniques I do with people and share my book actually helps people get back in touch with, oh, that's why I react. Real quick, I was working with a company. I do a lot of company work, too, and organizational work. And, you know, a guy gets patted on the back every day when he does something good, and he cringes, and he's thinking, oh, I hate getting hit on the back. And the other people are thinking, man, he doesn't appreciate when I acknowledge him. Until I came in the room, no one knew that his older brother used to hit him in the back a lot. And even though his conscious mind doesn't remember it, when you pat him on the back, that old memory flashes. And him getting in touch with that old memory and sharing it with his coworkers, they were like, wow, thank you, now we know. Now we will be able to, you know, understand how to acknowledge you and understand that your body memory doesn't like to be slapped on the back when you're not, you know, expecting it. Mm-hmm. It's like that kind of awareness can just change our life.
And so we're focusing on children today, but certainly in your book, What's Your Body Telling You?, and through what we're talking about today, if an adult didn't have the advantage of a parent helping them stay connected to their body, you have lots of things where we can reconnect back in. And what I'm hoping in asking you to be on this program is if we could help parents help their children from the beginning stay connected to their bodies so we don't have to do all this reconnection work that many of us have to do as adults.
Well, I think it's really important. You know, I think that parents can just start right now with their children just by simple things. Like, you know, when your child says, I don't want to go to school today, rather than going, you know, I'm busy and we've got to go and oh, stop avoiding, you know, take a moment, have them take a breath and just tell me what's going on around school. What do you feel in your body? Connect them right to the body. You'll be surprised at how that works. They might go, well, I'm feeling a little scared in my tummy. Okay, good. Good connection. Great. So when you think about going to school today, you feel a little scared in your tummy. Yeah. Well, maybe put your hand on that little spot and just take a couple breaths and feel into that. And all of a sudden, the kid's going, you know what? There's somebody at school I'm afraid of. Oh, thank you for telling me that. Or there's a teacher that I'm afraid of. You know, it's like we're going to enable our children to tell us what they need. And tell us what they're feeling. And that's wonderful. I mean, it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. You know, we're already up to our first break. I'm going to tell you this question that has come in on the chat. Is Steve's BQ work informed by the field of psychology called somatic experiencing and or sensory motor psychotherapy, which I often hear referenced with treatment of trauma, but are both so seemingly applicable with children even without trauma? So just put that in the back of your head. I'll ask you again. We're talking today with Steve Siskold, who's a popular speaker and body-centered therapist, and he's author of a book in progress on empowering your child's body quotient, BQ. Find out more about him at onedream.com. And we're going to be talking about health and obesity and the effects of electronic media on our children and their connection with their body when we return here on Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. This is Eileen Dillon. I have a few announcements. Next week on May 31st, we continue our month-long exploration of parenting when life coach Dakey Fox interviews me about parenting consciously, a parenting process I developed and have worked with for over 35 years, and now I'm offering through RaiseIncredibleKids.com. We'll be talking about parenting for the new world that is now emerging and how you can get help with that process and do it right. Upcoming guests are listed at the top of our radio show page on EmotionalPro.com, and in June we have four incredible shows for you. We're going to be talking about how to engineer happiness, live pain-free, a new way to be human, and we'll have an in-depth discussion on the nature of your personal reality, so don't miss a single episode. We also want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. Remember, our toll-free number is 800-630-7858, and you can also pose questions on the chat, download archived podcasts, or subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. Today, our guest is Steve Siskold, who's an author, body therapist, and has written two books and has a video, a documentary, and his book that I have on my desk right now is entitled What's Your Body Telling You? And his forthcoming book is on empowering your child's BQ, body quotient. So, Steve, before we get back into the questions, I just wanted to ask you, when I first met you, you were focusing on adults and their connection with their body, and you seem in the last year or two to have moved more toward kids. And I was wondering what occasioned that move, or has that been in there all along and you're just emphasizing it now? But what, is there a particular reason?
That's a great question. Well, you know, what I do for a living is I am working with adults. I've been doing a lot of keynotes. I just came back from New York and Connecticut, where I spoke to adult conventions about staying resilient in your body and focused and how to manifest, so forth. And I work in corporations and work a lot with adults. However, during this last book, I got invited to, like, Oprah Network to talk to Dr. Laura Berman. I got invited to Montel. I got invited to youth conferences. Like, that one aspect of the book, you know, Mommy, You're Hot, No, You're Not, how all of our manifestation and blocks to manifestation, you know, stem from beliefs we got at childhood. So it just dawned on me that that aspect of the book became very popular for people, and I got invited and still get invited, as I am with you, you know, to talk about this. So I thought, what would it be like if I perhaps interview some educators and some other you know, people in the that are really involved with children, and take a look at that aspect, how conscious parenting, including the body awareness and teaching your kid how to breathe when they're young. I mean, I taught my son all this stuff when he was little, and I know that it made a huge difference in his life. So it's something I want to do, and, you know, I'll still be working with adults. And even in this, I'm talking to educators. I went to a district meeting of principals and talked about this, and they were excited to take more of it back to their schools. So it's kind of like a mix for me, and, you know, part of the mission to see us have a happier life and a happier society. And absolutely starting with children is the place.
Well, I totally agree with you. I'm going there myself, having, you know, worked with families for 40 years, but I've also taught parenting for a long time too. And it just seems to me like if we can get people started right, we can keep them connected to who they already are, their lives are going to be so much better. And I love the way you're talking about that notion with the body, and I tend to talk about it in terms of the emotions, not that they don't overlap, but yeah, it's time for us to pay attention to. Thank you for explaining that. Now let's get back to the question on the chat. Is your work informed by the field of psychology called somatic experiencing and sensory motor psychotherapy?
Well, I've never heard the second term, and I have heard the first term. I actually didn't enter it that way. I entered it a kind of a unique way. I was in sales and business. I had a marketing company, an advertising business. Then I became a sales manager, national accounts manager, trainer with a very large corporation. And I just started noticing on my own, well, what's the difference of, you know, productivity and performance here? That person doesn't breathe when they talk. Wow, that person says the right things, even if I write them or train them, but somewhere their body's saying something else. I wonder what that is. So I started to, on my own, just kind of dabble in it, asking people to tell me what they wanted in their life, and they would tell me, and I would say, hey, I noticed when you did that, you crunched your this, or you squeezed that, or you said you're looking for a relationship, but I noticed you kind of put your hand and protected your heart. Huh, I wonder what that is. And that's really how I got started. And and then I met a couple people, Gay and Katie Hendricks, who came to me as clients because they heard I was helping people breaking through with these techniques. I had no psychology degree or anything behind me in that way. I was a master's in communication. And the Hendricks and I became good friends, started teaching together, and I became certified in body-centered psychotherapy, which is what they teach or used to teach and train people in. And it was just a kind of a natural thing for me, so I didn't really learn any particular technique when it started. But I love those terms, and I am constantly looking at, you know, neuroscience and somatic intelligence, and, you know, now it's becoming more of a buzz. I was at a conference just last week with all the major companies, Google, Twitter, Facebook, and they were all talking about how they need to bring that in more. Bring people into the body more, bring people back to that awareness. So it's becoming more common, and of course more terms and more scientific names are being given to it, but I just kind of dabbled it on my own through watching people's body language.
That's great. I personally think that's the most profound way to learn it anyway, because it you're going through your own curiosity, your heart is leading you. Well, let's talk a little bit about health. Adults, I think, are beginning to find their way back to being more fully involved in their own health and healing. But it's, as you mentioned earlier, it's still kind of amazing to me that most people just pop a pill or go to somebody else to have them help themselves get well. And I wanted to mention in terms of children that when my son was little, he's now 34, but when he was little, his father and I would ask him, if he was showing signs of a cold or flu, does your body need to get sick? And we started this when he was 2, maybe, or less, you know, when he could talk. Does your body need to get sick now? Now, if he said yes, we'd leave him alone. But if he said no, we would then instruct him to tell the sickness to get out of his body. And this little kid would sit there and go, get out of my body, and he would not get sick. Comments?
Wow. First of all, amazing that you did that. I think that you were teaching him that he has something to say about his own body, and he gets, you know, I call it the integrative conversation, you know, between the mind and the body. You're integrating, you're listening, you're actually, I think it's great. I think that, you know, obviously our body, when it gets overwhelmed sometimes, does need to come out through a cold or through giving us a fever or something. Our body's so intelligent. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no one that can deny that we have feelings. You know, you get the butterflies in your belly, or, oh, I want to get that off my chest, or all of those things that we've said over the years, because it really, we can impact. I was working with a person who had asthma, and I'm not a doctor by any means, but as she started breathing into the glitch or the pain in her chest, which she was always afraid to take a deep breath, she actually started feeling some things in there, and some memories came up about her grandfather dying and her not being able to be sad or angry. Her parents wouldn't let her express anything, so she just held her breath and kept holding her breath to get through the fact that she lost her best friend, her granddad. And
wow.
About 2 days later, she was diagnosed with asthma. Mm-hmm. And I just had her express all the things that she never got to express when she was a little girl in all those years about her grandfather dying. And boy, did she wail some stuff out about her grandfather and about her parents and about God for taking her grandfather. And all of a sudden she said, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it, but I've never been able to breathe like this. It's like something in my chest, like she got it off of her chest. So I think it was great that you taught your child to dialogue with his body so that he actually has that relationship, but also that he takes control. Like, wow, I can actually breathe, feel, express what I'm feeling in this body. I can talk to my body. I can listen to my body. What a symbiotic relationship. It's amazing you did that.
It saved us money. It saved us time. It saved us some sleep even, because he didn't get sick a lot. And, you know, he does get ill occasionally now, but even so, he knows how to self-correct, and
wow.
He knows that he can, you know. And that's what I think most people don't know. Just to update you on our chat here, our person says that psychology is evolving new fields of formal study into these body-oriented areas, just like new approaches with feelings came along with Gestalt, and that you, by her reckoning, are on the crest of this evolving approach to wellness that our chat person sees as a more spiritual, soul-welcoming, consciousness-generating field that's really significant for the survival and evolution of humans. I thought I'd share that with you.
That is beautiful. Thank you, Chatter. Thank you so much for that. You know, really what it's about is that in my book, I do present BQ as another intelligence to tap into, and whole body consciousness is a way to work and live. And she's right, and thank you again, she's right that there's some amazing science. You know, in my book I have something with Bruce Gershon, who is just doing amazing work in universities around the gut and finding, wow, there are neurotransmitters, and the gut is very much like our brain and our head, and it actually sends messages and gets messages. And, gee, you know, it makes sense. We all say, was that a gut instinct? Felt that right in my belly. You know, it's just amazing how science is putting this stuff under the microscope and coming out with these various, you know, putting the body and the intelligence together. I love it. And thank you for those great words.
Great, wonderful. You know, last night, Steve, I talked with my granddaughter, who's 16 and lives on the East Coast, and she was up very late. It was midnight there, and she was quite tired, and she told me she planned to get up at 3 in the morning. She's trying to catch up on her academics because she fell behind participating in school activities. She's in drama. She has a wonderful voice and is in one of their top choral groups. And her parents are actively protecting her. For example, recently the choral group was supposed to go out of town to do a concert, and her parents said that if she went, she would just collapse physically, and they weren't willing to let her do that. So they refused to let her go, even though the choral teacher was saying, but she's our best soprano, we need her. And I got to say that I You know, they also took these kids to New York and scheduled a 17-hour day, gave them 6 hours of sleep, and got them up to do a performance at Carnegie Hall. And my memory is that my teachers in school protected my physical health. And I don't think this is unusual, that kids in high school are being pushed to the point of total exhaustion constantly. Comments?
Yes. First of all, I see that a lot, and I see it where I live in Marin County a lot. I see people I knew that were, for whatever reason, maybe they wanted the best for their kid, maybe it was lack, maybe it was dreams they didn't realize, but I could see it where, you know, just pushing, you know, get out of school, and then they're going to French class, and then they're going to gymnastics, and then they're going here, then they're going to learn this, and then they're going to music class. It's like, it seems like great activities, but, you know, kids just need to play. Kids need rest. Kids need to not be pushed. I'm sure you've heard, you know, it's gotten so out of hand. In Texas and Iowa, states that are really big on football, they're holding their kids back. They're keeping them a grade or two behind. They're asking teachers to fail them on purpose. They're doing everything they can so their kid will be the bigger kid and be the big football star. And the kids are exhausted. They might not even want to play football. So it just goes on and on. You got me started. It's like amazing.
Yeah.
Now there's TV shows where they're pushing their little kids to be wear tiaras, and oh, it's just crazy. And so much of it, you know, it used to be my experience that parents wanted their child to do better than them, and I think that's still an instinct, you know, want them to be freer, happier, financially secure, etc. But it's gotten out of hand because it's gotten away from what's good for the child, and it's more of status of, you know, look at our daughter, come to your, you know, look at our son, he's a child prodigy. And I think we have to be really careful. I like some of these schools like Sudbury School, where they don't push anything on the kids. They just invite the kids to tell them what they want to learn. It's amazing. It's out of Massachusetts. They had one on Maui when I was living there. And it's a lot of trust. But if a kid says, you know, I'm interested in science, and they're an Einstein, but they're not really interested in literature, they make sure that kid gets a lot of science information while they're at that school. They'll go on the internet, they'll get them special books, they'll take, you know, it's really, we've got to listen to them versus, you know, our agenda.
Mm-hmm. But in doing that also, we're pushing kids right past listening to their bodies. And I know you talk about this in some articles, and I certainly have observed it. Starting about middle school, we cut back on the amount of downtime that kids have. They cut back on physical education. They use lunch times that's the only time you can get help on academic activities. And basically, we just keep cutting away at our kids being in their bodies during the school day. What kinds of effects? How's that affecting obesity? How's that affecting academic performance?
I think it's a great question. And, you know, the truth is that we have cut back tremendously, even programs and school. You know, this whole thinking that, oh boy, we have to keep up with India and China and Japan, and we just have to, like, really get our kids to be, like, spending more time on their mind, their IQ, and, you know, less recess, less programs like fun and freedom. Here's what happens, which is crazy, because I'm working in these corporate offices. I'm working with clients. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but this is accurate. They'll tell me they're so addicted to their texting, their iPhones, the mental push that they were taught. They didn't, let's say, get into the athletics as much or chilling out or fun time, you know, recess, and they just got trained. So to the point where they take a shower, they take a run, and they're, what am I missing? What am I missing on, you know, I might miss a text. I might not get ahead. I might get behind the other person. There's an amazing amount of competition taught in the schools, and very little around the body or taking recess or taking reboots or pausing to do something other than drive. And as a result, these young kids have turned into office workers and creators that are sitting in, you know, front of these screens 24/7 trying to be the next, you know, Facebook founder, the next Twitter founder. And it does cause things like obesity and eating poorly and lack of oxygen to the brain and everything else because we're too sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Michelle Obama started the, you know, Let's Move project, which is good, but we need so much more of it. And we're taking that away from the kids, as you said, instead of giving them more. So the result is a lot of people running around pretty neurotic, really driven and addicted to machines and productivity and multitasking instead of taking some time for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I can see you. We could talk for a day here. We're talking today with Steve Siskold, author, body therapist, and his book is What's Your Body Telling You? And he has a forthcoming book he's starting to put together, Empowering Your Child's BQ. We're talking about your child's relationships and how they're affected by BQ when we return from these messages. You're listening to Full Power Living.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives, as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. We're back here on Full Power Living talking with Steve Siskold, who is author of What's Your Body Telling You and is talking with us today about empowering your child's body quotient, BQ. And remember that his website is onedream.com. Now, Steve, I want to go into illness and health just a little bit. Many years ago, I took a day off from work, and I got to thinking about the fact that the only way I could take a day off was to take sick leave. And I found myself about 11 in the morning still in bed, sort of being sick, but I wasn't really. And I got to thinking all about sickness, and my picture was that I got sick the further I got away from myself. It was sort of like I got involved in life and I would get further and further away. And I might hear myself say things like, oh, I need to cut back or I'm tired or something like that, but I wouldn't listen. And then I would get sick and I would find myself in bed saying, I can't do anything, I'm sick. And I reasoned that if I listened to those signals that were coming to me and cut back, I might not have to get sick. And so I began to experiment with it, and that's what happened.
Wow. So what do you notice as you say that? What do you think that is?
I think that I was learning to listen to my body, which was telling me exactly what I needed to do, and if I would listen to it. I mean, the bottom line is I haven't had a cold myself for 4 or 5 years now at the age of 69. I just don't believe I need to get sick.
<laughs> You know? I love that. Well, you know, you brought up something else, which I talk about, is how we have a lot of us have a very un-body-friendly vocabulary. You know, That makes me sick. That's a pain in my neck. Oh, he really makes me just, you know, and it's like, boy, we're putting these messages into our body. You're putting positive messages, and you're talking to your body as one unit and directing it in health and I'm not sick, or, you know, telling your son what you did. But many of us don't realize, I worked with a guy that had pain in the back of his neck and had for 6 years. And just was hated it. You know, who wants that kind of pain for six straight years? And as he started breathing into it and feeling it and really putting his hands in the spot and feeling it, he got in touch with how many times things like not paying the IRS for 6 years, avoiding so many different things for the last 6 years, he had a habit, whenever the thought would come up like, oh, I didn't pay my bill, or, ah, I wonder what's going to happen with the IRS, he had this mantra that said, just put it in the back of your head and forget about it. Just put it in the back of your head and forget about it. And actually, you know, that saying that to himself all the time created a headache and a neck ache. So we got to be careful about what we say about and to our bodies. I'm glad you brought that up in a couple ways, because that's key.
I want to tell you another incident. Back to kids here. When my son was little, we gave him Yamaha keyboard lessons, and he was four the first year, and he did fine in class. But when he was five, we put him in the next level class. And for the first few sessions, they have the parents sit in with the child. And my son would not open his keyboard when the instructor gave him the word to do that. And he was just adamant. And I ended up getting angry with him and taking him away from the classroom and being angry with him. And I took him home. And then on the way home, as I was driving, I thought, he doesn't usually operate like this. He didn't operate like this before. And so I called the school, and I found out that the instructor was somebody who had a serious drinking problem that they were giving a second chance to, which I supported. But it was clear whatever was going on energetically with that person did not fit my son. And so I asked if he could be put in somebody else's class. He was, and he had no problem at all. Well, parents don't usually read those messages, and I didn't read it for a while, you know?
But that's so great. Yeah, I think that's the key. You know, really talk to your child. Read their messages. Watch their body language. Don't be so busy, you know. Children see this and feel hurt by it. You know, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I was just told by someone that went to a wedding. I mean, I couldn't believe this happened, but the groom got up and he said to his dad, "Dad, I wish I could tell everybody that you were the kind of dad that was there for me when I was growing up. I wish I could tell everybody you threw a ball with me every day after school. I wish I could tell everybody that you didn't run to Las Vegas and not miss my important games." Wow. It's like, what a place. I mean, this kid must have been carrying it for years to have a couple drinks and at his own wedding, basically, just let it out. Like, mm-hmm. His dad wasn't there, and it came back. But, you know, think about it. When we're not there for our children, when we're not listening to what they have to say, when we're too busy, as we can be, especially nowadays, parents think, you know, I'm sitting with my kid, I'm on my laptop, and we're, you know, we're watching something together. No, your kid's not getting your full attention, and you're missing those kind of signals that your son was fortunate enough that you looked and noticed and asked and taught him to express that to you. And I did the same with my son. There are times where he came home, and I go, "What's up?" I go, "Tell me. Breathe. Mm-hmm. Get on the floor. Stomp, kick, I don't care, just get it out." And he would get it out. And then he could go up to his room. Well, the kid who doesn't have that is sending signals, gets ignored, and then goes up to his room, and that's why a lot of kids get into drugs and addicted to computers, because they have nowhere else to go.
So our chatter says, that's it. The world and our evolution is moving from the emphasis on material to energetics. Like your alcoholic teacher assessment and Steve's work with BQ. So you're getting some people excited here, Steve.
I'm really glad about that. That's actually energy and energy medicine, and, you know, listening to our energy and following the energy is beautiful. And, of course, we need the body to do that, because
right.
Then we can actually feel it. I always say to people, spirituality. You know, the old saying, I was with this Sufi master. We were in the same conference, and we became pretty good friends. And he said, Steve, why do they always say, I am not my body in Sufism? He says, I am my body. My knee hurts. You know, and we laugh, but we both agreed that we are in a body. And you can feel spirituality. You can feel everything. So we're really being ripped off and ripping ourselves off when we're taking ourselves out of the body most of the time and not being able to feel our experience through life. We're just thinking it. So it's, I love what Einstein said. You can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. So a body's another portal, another place for us to go and get information, because if we got a problem and we're thinking it over and over and over, we don't usually get the answers. We just keep spinning around the same thought over and over and over. I always say, go to the body. You know, go somewhere else for the information. Stand up, move around, breathe, jump on a trampoline, take a walk, but do something where you can start to be in your body. And usually people find that that will give them another creative thought, kind of release the tension, and give them another perspective by not overthinking it.
Uh-huh. And I just, because I have my interest in emotions, to me, emotions are energy also. And when we bury our emotions, we block the energy in our bodies, which can cause us a lot of problems, including physical illness. I suspect you agree with that.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Good. So how does our child's relationship with his or her body affect his or her relationships with other people?
Well, you know, first of all, that's a great question, because it's so important. I mean, we all have our self-esteem issues, and of course, if we're in touch with our own body and we're loving our body, we're going to feel better about ourselves, so we're going to be easier to be with in relationship. But a lot of what I teach and work with is just imagine any kind of relationship, lover, friend, schoolmate, business partner. If you're able to get, first of all, access your own feelings, like, wow, when you dropped that on my desk and said, you know, get it to me later, I just need to tell you how that felt. You know, here's what came up for me, because you dropped three more things that morning and I'm screwed up priority and I noticed my chest was, you know, whatever. It's the idea that we could really speak that openly. Gee, when you left all that stuff in the dishes, knowing my client was coming in 5 minutes, you know, I noticed I felt really tight. I felt really, you know, and it's not making you wrong. It's not about blaming you. It's about people being able to explain what's really happening. How do I do in relationship what I do? How does it impact you? When you say or do certain things, how does it impact me? And that knowledge and information, I'm teaching it in corporations. I'm teaching with couples. We've got a couple flying out next week for some intensive work. That's all I do. I just have them look at, how would it be if you were able to really tell each other, rather than assumptions and all of the stories that you make up in your head, if you were able to just say, when you said that, I felt something in my chest that kind of reminded me of when I was a kid, or, gee, when you say that, it reminds me of my dad. And, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but just want you to know how it impacts me. Mm-hmm. And I've used that with so many people that it's really helped them get clear on, wow, good to know. Now I'll be able to be in a relationship with you with more awareness about how I impact you and how my communication and my actions impact you is vital if it's going to be a healthy relationship.
I like that statement. I just want to comment here that one of the most powerful, or the most powerful way that we adults teach children is through modeling. And one of the reasons that I really want people to know about What's Your Body Telling You, your book, is because if a parent who's listening, if you're a parent and you're listening here, and you don't feel like you know how to do all these things, you can find out how to do them yourself and teach your child more effectively by doing them yourself. And I want to thank you for offering that, Steve. If people had... could remember only three things, Steve, about helping to empower their children's BQ, as your final words here today, what would be the three most important things for them to remember?
I think the first thing is just remember that you are the model, role player. I just wrote a blog where the kid gives a finger at a football game. He's like 4 years old. He's just imitating dad. So be aware that if you're not breathing and you're not in your body, that's how your kid's going to be. So really model breathing, model speaking from the body, and always listen and look at your child and just say, tell me what you feel. You know, show them that their feelings are important to you. I think those are the key things to remember.
Thank you. That is really, really wonderful. Well, I'm delighted that you accepted my invitation. I'm learning from the chat here that your voice is not as unique as I thought it was, in the sense that people are beginning to pay attention to this area now through psychology. But at this point, your voice is a unique one in the world, and I think it shouldn't be. I think we all need to be addressing our connection with our bodies in the ways that you write and talk about. So I just want to thank you for keeping the fire burning, and I hope we all start lighting our candles from your fire very soon.
Thank you for doing this great show. I'll definitely spread the word on our show today, and thanks so much. This is good work.
Great. Well, thank you for being on Full Power Living. Next week, May 31st, our guest is Eileen Dillon, the emotional pro, talking about raising incredible kids. And our guest host will be life coach Dakey Fox, who has herself raised three incredible kids. Open your eyes to a new way altogether of raising kids to be prepared for the new times that we're entering. Join us live on May 31st and every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific and noon Eastern Time for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Thanks, Paul Johnston, our show's producer, Fresh Talk Media. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.